name is Letty Cherry Krager, and I am the VaxTrack manager for Riverside County in California. And today I'm going to be talking to you about adapting some mainstream marketing techniques for difficult to recruit providers. And I'm not going to just talk to you about it, but I'm going to teach you how to do this. I'm going to teach you in less than 30 minutes what it took me more than 3 hours to learn, or actually my initial training for that. So I'll give you a little bit of background on why we use marketing techniques when we recruit providers, talk about the seven-step approach and how the seven-step approach works. Then I'm going to take you through the seven-step approach step by step, and that's where you're going to learn. So put your seatbelts on and hang on and get ready to write. Then we'll talk about our real-life applications and the successes we've had with it before we end up finishing for the morning. Little bit about Riverside County. We're the fourth largest county in California. We have more than 7,200 square miles. Our registry is currently pediatric, but we are becoming a lifespan registry in 2009 when we go to the statewide system. And our providers, so now this is just thinking in terms of the pediatric providers and those who work with children, such as WIC, schools, daycare. We have identified more than 1,086 providers. 487 of those providers, and that is not just our public health and private providers, but that is also WIC, schools, daycare, again, foster care. They are enrolled, and we have another 435 that are either have been identified as new, because we have to keep going back as people move into our areas with those high cost houses in California. People are moving into the Inland Empire out of LA and Orange County. 435 again are either new or they're in active recruitment. Now, getting down to our private medical providers, we have 188 who are enrolled in VaxTrack, and that is more than 60% of our eligible PMDs, or those who give shots to children and adolescents. Our recruitment activities, again, incorporate basic sales and marketing techniques, because we are selling a product. We are selling the registry. We're selling the service that we provide to support that registry. There's no money involved to them, but it is still something that we are providing that's a benefit to them. We use techniques such as overcoming objections, assuming the sale, and that popular radio station, WIIFM, What's in It for Me, which is where we tie the features and the benefits. You need to know what's important to the provider so you can tie your features and benefits of the registry to that. And our basic sale techniques, though, have not worked for all of our providers. Of our non-enrolled providers, there's probably about 63% who continuously say year after year, sorry, I'm not interested. So that got me to thinking, how many of those no's are not from our key decision makers? How many times do your staff call, or do you call a provider's office and they say, well, let me talk to the doctor and I'll get back to you. And then they say, oh, no, doctor's not interested. Well, I started thinking, I bet some of those people are gatekeepers. And gatekeepers can be a staff member who just does not want to add another task to their already busy day. Or it could be an office manager that's short-staffed at the time. They're just totally overwhelmed, and they're thinking, I don't want to even add something else to them. So we decided to adopt this other marketing approach that I'm calling the seven-step approach to see if that would help increase our yeses. So the seven-step approach is a series of seven steps that are designed to help achieve a sales or marketing goal. And I think provider recruitment is going to be a sales or marketing goal. The first three steps are going to set a tone by getting a yes response before you state what the purpose of your call is. And when followed, it helps increase success rate by incorporating some of the other basic sales technique. Again, it uses overcoming objection, it uses asking for an appointment, and it also uses certain scripts to enhance success. We use a seven-step approach because people are pre-programmed to say no. How many times during the course of your day do you pick up the phone and someone is trying to sell you something and you're just too busy, you don't want to be bothered, so your first response is no. But you don't have the facts. You don't know if this is something that's going to be helpful for you or not. So the seven-step approach, again, is going to create an environment where your message can be heard by seeking those yes responses from the start and the industry, which is the direct sales, insurance industry, and some home-based businesses, in that industry, their success rate is one yes for every three ask, or about 33%. So there are certain fundamentals that you have to do with a seven-step approach. You must follow the steps in order if you want it to work. You're going to have to use the words provided, and there are some specific words that you will see you'll be asked to use. You need to give the person time to respond, because if you just rush through it because you're nervous, you're not getting your yeses that you need. And the tone and delivery is important, because smiles, if, especially if you're on the phone, smiles are heard. And this is just an overview I'm going to go through pretty quickly. Your first step is you begin the call. The next one is disarm the contact. Then you want to get permission to talk. Then in step four, that's when you're finally saying the reason for your call. Step five, you're going to probably get an objection. So this is where you deal with the objection, and you continue dealing with that in the positioning question in step six. And finally, the last step is you are going to close. So step one, you begin the call. Your expectation for this step is you just want a simple response from your contact. It could be a hi, hello, or even a who. And so you will say something like, hello, Susie, this is Letty Cherry Crager calling. You have to wait for a response before continuing for the next step. So you're waiting for her to say yes, like she's questioning who you are. And then you also wait to identify yourself further. Now, in that, some may be asking, well, what if you get someone else who answers the phone and say, may I say who's calling, please? And they will want to, well, where are you from? You just say, I need to speak with Susie, please. In step two, you're disarming your contact, and you want to ask a question that you're going to get a yes response from your contact. And you need to begin your sentence either with the if you recall or I understand. And again, you're pausing long enough to get a response, and you need to decide in advance what statement's going to work best for your call for the situation in which you're calling. For example, the easiest one to get a yes would be, I understand you're the office manager for Dr. Smith. Or if it's someone you've been trying to recruit and you notice, okay, we talked to them about a year ago about their computers. If you recall, I spoke to you last year about whether your office had internet access. Then, before you continue, you need to have permission to talk. Because if we are going to use sales techniques, we don't want to be confused with the pushy sales type. And so you want to say something like, is this a convenient time for you to talk, or do you have a moment to talk? That, if they do, they're going to say another yes, and then you'll go to step four. And that, this, all these yeses are getting them to kind of overcome their say no when you actually get down to your reason. If it's an it depends, they just need a little bit more information, so you'll go to step four, but you may have to stop. If they say no, you need to find out a good time to call, but you need to maintain control of the situation. So you're not going to say, oh, well, what would be a good time to call you back? Instead, you're going to say something like, would an hour from now, or would tomorrow morning, or would next Tuesday, something along those lines be a better time? And when you call back, you're going to have to go through the first three steps again, such as, hi, Susie, this is Letty Cherry Crager calling, pause. If you recall, you said this afternoon, you thought this afternoon would be a better time to talk. Do you have a moment to talk now? So then you get into your reason for your call, and you want to use words like hoping, need, visit, wondering, and trying. And these words have been shown to work. And your expectation is you're either going to make an appointment or you will get an objection. And you need to be sure to ask for your appointment. And so I would say something like, I am calling from the VaxTrack Immunization Registry, and I have been trying to follow up with pediatric offices who are not yet enrolled in VaxTrack. I was hoping to spend about 15 or 20 minutes showing you the software and discussing how it would benefit your office. Would a morning appointment or an afternoon appointment be better for you? And one of the things you're going to note is that by seeking yes responses in the beginning, the contact will be a little bit more receptive to what you have to say. And another sales technique is giving two choices for the appointments. I'm assuming the sale by asking for that appointment. But by giving two choices, such as early in the week, late in the week, Monday or Thursday, morning or afternoon, people are going to select one. And then if you may find, as we did, that you will have success after just four steps. But you do need to be prepared to expect an objection, and that again goes back to people are programmed to say no, they need some more information. So your expectation at this point is you want to continue the conversation in favorable terms in spite of the objection. And you want to say words like okay or I understand. You're agreeing with them and agreeing with whatever objection they have. So you'll say, okay, before I go, may I ask you one quick question? Or I understand. Before I go, may I ask you one quick question? And again, you're going to pause long enough for that contact to respond, and you expect to hear a yes, okay, or a sure. Again, that's another yes that you're looking to get. If the contact says no, you just end the call at this point by thanking the person for his or her time. If they say yes, you're moving into your positioning question, and you need to ask a question that reveals a potential need or motivation, because you're really trying to find out what their what's in it for me is and what their needs and motivations are. You have to ask a question that's open-ended, and you must pause long enough for the person to respond. And you also need to listen, because they're going to identify their need, and you're going to repeat that back to them in the positioning question. You want to say a word like something like, if you can improve anything about your, and then whatever you're going to select, or if you can change one thing about your whatever, and what would it be? You need to have a list of prepared statements to go into this so that you're not just going, let me see, what's my positioning question? You want to be able to say it and sound convincing. So one example could be, if you could improve one thing about your vaccine management inventory management, what would it be? And then you're going to go into the close. And you're asking for your appointment again by restating your reason for calling and repeating what their identified need is in the close. You want to use the word especially in your response this time, in addition to words like we talked about earlier, the hoping, need, visit, wondering, and trying. And you will be asking for, again, the appointment. If you get another objection at this point, you're just going to end the call by thanking the person for his or her time. So if your positioning question was, if you can do one thing to improve how efficiently your office runs, what would it be? They're going to tell you your need, and you're just coming back with them by saying something like, this is one of the reasons I was especially hoping to visit with you, so I could share how similar offices found they were able to become more efficient after they joined the registry, even though they did not increase the size of their staff. Again, I would only need about 15 or 20 minutes of your time. I was wondering what works better for you, morning or afternoon. And in real life, we have tried this on 7 providers, that we had 72 different recruitment attempts before some staffing changes had put our test on hold. And I recently was able to hire someone that can resume doing this, and she is currently in training for registry and for learning the 7-step approach. Our results. If you recall earlier, I said the industry average was 33% with a 1 in 3. Our results, we had better than 1 in 2 yeses. 57%. This is just a slide that shows how many different contact attempts. Each of these contacts, we had over the years multiple attempts to contact them, and they were always saying no. With each of these, we applied this approach one time, and we got 4 yeses, 3 of them within the first 4 steps. So adapting sales techniques for immunization information systems can facilitate provider recruitment. And when properly applied, the 7-step approach helps counteract the pre-programming that people have to say no. Seeking yes responses increases their receptiveness. It can help move you past the gatekeepers so that you're in front of the decision makers. Using sales techniques does not in any way make you the sales type unless you make yourself the sales type by becoming pushy. By asking permission to talk, that demonstrates respect for the person's time. It makes them more likely to do business with you. And again, these techniques allowed VaxTrack to experience a 57% increase in the number of difficult to recruit providers who actually enrolled in VaxTrack. And I guess we're going to be moving on to questions. Thank you.
So are there any questions for James or Letty?
First, thank you for the excellent talks. This question is for Letty in particular. So I really enjoyed your presentation, and actually I wish I had heard this about a year ago because I could really use that information in a project we're working on right now. But my question is, so you've gotten the yes, we've gone through the seven steps. What about after the yes? Because recruitment, in my mind, goes beyond just somebody saying they're willing to have you come visit, show them VaxTrack or whatever. So can you speak to what happens after the yes and how that may maybe take a left turn or a right turn depending on, the particular practices? In other words, having them hear you out, so to speak, is not the same as participation. So
I understand that because we've also used this same technique for provider retention. We had one office in particular that had been enrolled, but we're not. They first started using the registry, and then they had some staffing changes and some staffing shortages, and we were trying to get back in with them to get them going again, and they kept not wanting to make an appointment. They kept canceling their appointments, and we did use this approach on them and just tailored what we said, and we were doing it on the phone, and we were able to get back in there to get them retrained, to get them moving again.
So one quick follow-up. Do you notice any difference between, okay, so you've got this one group of practices which might be an easier yes. You know, either mm-hmm. they're interested or they're not, but that's mm-hmm. just one set. And then you go through your seven steps to get these guys to at least say, okay, fine, come on in. Are they somehow different in any way other than the fact that you have to go through?
I haven't really noticed that yet. It's usually the fact that there's someone else that is not the decision maker that's acting as a gatekeeper.
The gatekeeper. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for your comment.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Yes.
Hi. I have a question for James. I've seen similar studies, and that's a really interesting study. On the relationship between the VFC and the non-VFC, you're not a universal vaccine state,
no.
I also assume.
No, we're not.
Is that going to, are those kinds of things going to be addressed at perhaps a policy issue, either by the state health department or the state government, to tie VFC more closely or more loosely to the use of the registry? Or would you be going after more vigorously the private insurance companies so that it does not look like it's a government, government health insurance
type of thing.
From a policy standpoint?
I don't think in Oregon we're going to tie anything, require registry use, but we've had such great success convincing providers once they make that choice to participate with VFC that it really is a value added to use the registry. We have some work to do, but I don't think folks, there's someone here from the registry, I don't know if you want to comment, Jenny, but I'm not sure we're going to go that way. And we're not a universal state, and we actually have a two-tiered system for using 317 monies, and we don't include all ACIP recommended vaccinations funded by in the 317 coverage. We're working on it, and there's ways, cost calculations and usage calculations that I'm not involved in, that allows us to transition vaccinations that are not included in 317 to include them. But that's where we're at. We don't have any state general funds for vaccinations in Oregon.
So then there's no advantage to people. To users or there could be an advantage to users and non-users if they became users to get those shots that were given in other settings, mm-hmm. which are not funded by sources and which are given by public health or other kinds of facilities.
Say that again. I'm not sure I'm following.
I saw that thing you had between the mm-hmm. health departments that give shots and the providers that either do
right.
or don't collaborate with the health departments. So is that an area that you're going to be working on to make sure that
shots? Yes, we've been working on it. There are different models. Historically, I understand that there, in some, and this is just for the rural Oregon, there were some deals made between the health department and the private practitioners so that the health department actually provide the shots. And in some communities, the health department is right around the corner from where the practice is. In other communities, it hasn't worked very well, and there's not that much interaction between the health departments. Now, with some of the work that's been going on, and LJ sitting next to you there on your other side here, can talk about it further. There's one practice that actually has invited the health department in twice a month to give vaccinations. They don't give the shots themselves, but the health department comes to the practice to give vaccinations. So we're looking at all kinds of models like that to make it work better.
Thank you.
But it's quite a challenge. Thank you for the question.
Hello. My question is for Letty. I was wondering, is there a requirement for your providers to report to the registry? Is it a mandated thing?
No, we're not mandated.
Okay, and also, do you target doctors or managers? Are you trying to get to speak to actual provider, or do you work with the managers as well?
It's the whoever the decision maker is. Sometimes the decision maker is the physician. Sometimes it's the office manager.
Is there a set of questions you use to figure out who that is, or how would you know who the decision?
You just ask.
You just ask.
You ask, and it could just be something as simple as, you know, who would you say is the key decision maker for your practice, for anything that could help benefit your practice? Because there are some providers that are very hands-on, and then there are some that they just want to see the patients and leave the running of the office up to the manager.
Are there any other questions? Thank you, James and Letty, very much.